glad that God is God no matter what. He is absolutely God, totally God. Not only doesn't cease to be God, he's not even a weak God. When troubles come our way and burdens are so heavy and trials are so difficult, it doesn't change God one bit. In fact, we'll a lot of times see the reality of his strength as he see it. He told Paul, in our weakness, that's when his strength is manifested. I rejoice in that. Psalm 95. Psalm 95. We'll look back at the thought of worship. Told Brian this afternoon, worship's one of those subjects that the more I study and the more I try to delve into it and the more I try and learn and the more I try to apply it to my life, the more I realize it just, it's one of those things I just can't grasp. It's just, I want to learn to worship. I want us to be a worshiping church. We need that. I need that. You need that as an individual. Without worship, there's so much of our life that's missing. So much of our fellowship with the Lord missing. There's so much that he is grieved by in our lack of or failure to worship. Let's go ahead and read the verses again, beginning in verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. He's above them all. There's a lot of gods in the world. There are people on earth now worshiping idols of stone and wood. They say that God, little g, made the sun come up or made the rain fall or gave them a baby. And all those gods, little g, are strong to them. But here's the God of gods. Here's the Lord of lords. He's above them all, which, of course, they don't exist. You understand that. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. And the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. The thought of worship means to prostrate oneself. To lower, the psalmist said it, let us worship and bow down. When we worship, the idea of prostrating ourselves indicates that we see his greatness. We see him and wonder. We see him and stand amazed. We see him and recognize our inadequacy, our failure, our unworthiness. And there, as he says here, in the prostrate or in the prostrate falling out, lowering, we recognize through our posture, it shows our understanding of him and our worship of him. It is recognizing his greatness. Worship, as I've said already, is something that's directed toward him. In Revelation 4:11, as I've said already, I want to mention this again. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things. And for thy pleasure they are and were created. They are worshiping him around the throne. They worship Him first because He is worthy. Just He Himself. No matter what He's done, no matter what He's doing, no matter what He's capable of, He deserves worship. He is worthy. But it also says, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. He says, they say, they worship Him because of who He is, but they worship Him because of what He's done. That will pretty much summarize our worship when it's right. I have said worship is something that is personal. He says, oh, come. He's speaking to everybody, but He speaks to individuals. And worship is something that is personal. It's between you and God. There may be people around you in worship. There may be people around you in sin. Worship is something between me and Him. It is not dependent upon others. It is not dependent upon circumstances. It's something that's personal. He says, oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. He indicates from that that worship is not only personal between me and Him, but worship is public. He says, let us come and sing unto the Lord. That's why we're here tonight. We have come again to worship Him. As we come together tonight, our attitude should be to worship. I hope we come tonight hungry and wanting something from God, because I need it and so do you. We'll face the world tomorrow. In fact, we will when we leave this building. And we need help. But in the process of our coming, one desire, one determination should be in every person's heart here. I just want to worship Him. It's a thing that's public. It's a thing that's proper. He said to do it. And since He said it, it's right. Could I move on tonight? Notice He says at least twice in these verses, make a joyful noise. I rejoice in that second word. A joyful noise. The indication is something from the heart. Something from deep down inside. Something from within. It is not surface. It is not fleshly. It is not worked up. It is worked out. It's released from inside. It is something from the heart. It's a joyful noise. Could I draw from that this thought? Worship is something that is passionate. Passionate. It's something that comes from a heart of love. Something that comes from inside. A love for our Lord. An opening of our heart in worshiping Him. Jesus said in John 4:24, God is spirit, and they that worship Him, got my attention already, they that worship Him must, certainly got my attention now. He says, if you want to worship, there's something you must do. Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The truth part is learning more about Him. And the more we learn, the more truth that enters our system, the more we're aware, the more we learn, the more truth we're exposed to, the more we'll worship Him. The more we'll be in awe, the more we'll be amazed. But the spirit part, He said, those that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, the spirit part a lot of times is used as the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit's involved with worship. He enables us to worship. But the word spirit there is lowercase s. He's speaking of the human spirit. He's speaking of a person who truly worships God, they must worship Him with their spirit, with their heart, with their all. It's a passionate thing. It's a thing from a heart of love and gratitude. It's with all our heart. The word passion or passionate makes me think about an emotion. Worship is emotional. No misunderstand. It's not a fleshly emotion. That's entertainment. I am grieved. I refreshed my memory. I thought about something I had looked at a good while ago, and I looked again, and it grieved me again, afresh and anew. Oh, there's so much in the Christian realm. There's so much in the church world today that they call worship. It grieves me. It burns me. There's Christian rock and Christian rap and Christian stomp. You ever seen the Christian stomp where they beat on trash cans like the worldly stomp and they clap their hands and stomp around and call that worship? There's Christian dance. There's choreographed dance. There's Christian ballet. Why, I saw one in a church where the lady literally had her tutu on and the man had his tights on, and I thought, man, I don't even look at that, let alone say that's worship. Oh, worship is emotional, but it ain't fleshly emotion. It is not from the flesh, it's from the heart. It's a spiritual emotion. Entertainment stirs our emotions, but worship stirs our spirit. The psalmist said it like this: "Oh God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." From the heart. Oh, he's crying out for help, no doubt. But at the same time, we see worship in this verse. Early will I seek Thee. Oh, my God, my heart cries out to You. Oh, from my innermost being, from the heart. Worship is a passionate thing. It's from the spirit. It's from the inner man. It comes from inside our heart. It's a response. It's a result of our love to Him and love for Him. If we don't love Him, we'll never worship Him like we should. Love and worship, oh, they're connected. It's a passionate thing. It comes from the heart. It's an emotional thing. True worship must come from the heart. You realize we can come to church 3 times a week. We can come to revival every night of the week and never worship. Never really worship. And I believe that grieves God and it harms us. Oh, worship is from the heart. It's a passionate thing. An expression of love, an expression of amazement, an expression of gratitude, an expression of, oh, what a God You are. It's a passionate thing. It comes from within. That means it's an emotion. There's an emotion involved, but there's an enthusiasm involved. A consuming interest. A consuming interest. Something that occupies our mind. To compare. And there's the football fan that's consumed with football. And there's a hunter that's consumed with the kill. And there's a lady or man that's consumed with the sale at Walmart or wherever. There's a consumption. There's an enthusiasm. There's a passion. Because I love ball, or I love the rifle, or I love a good sale. from the inside. There's an enthusiasm. There's an interest. It's generated from inside. I long for it. And that's how it is to be with us and our Lord. A genuine, overwhelming compassion. A genuine, overwhelming consumption. A genuine, overwhelming enthusiasm and interest. The psalmist said it like this. I was glad. It thrilled me. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. They said it's church time. I'm glad. I'm thrilled. Oh boy, get to worship God. I'm ready. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Worship's a passionate thing. And that means there's an emotion connected to it. But there's an enthusiasm connected to it. When we come glad to get in touch with Him. Hey, and do it at home. I want to tell you, I've said it again. I told the Lord, He already knew it, but I reminded Him. I reminded me. I said, this is it. This is the key. The other day, I was feeling kind of dead and dry and kind of down, I guess. I just thought, I'm getting along with the Lord in a little while. It wasn't real quick. Sometimes it isn't. But in a little while, God began to stir my heart. God began to change things in my mind. God began to reveal Himself to me. And I found myself worshiping Him. And once again, I've said it many times before. This is it. This is it. This is the key to staying close to the Lord, on fire with Him, passionately in love with Him, willing to do His will. That time of communion, that time of worship, that time of just getting in touch with Him. I'm telling you, it's a passionate thing. My heart open to Him. My heart in love and gratitude and amazement. Opening up to Him. It's a passionate thing. That means it's an emotional thing. And it's an enthusiastic thing. I wonder if we're not like the people of Amos sometime. During Amos's day, oh, poor old Amos, he had a rough time. He was preaching to people like this. Here's what they said. When will the new moon be gone that we may sell our corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat? Here's people who claimed no God, and their thoughts were, I wish the preacher would hush up and the Sabbath would end where I could get back to my business. When in the world will the sun come up the day after Sabbath, to where I can get back to my life? No hunger for God, no desire, no thrill that it's time to spend time with Him. And I want to tell you, we need to guard against that. We need to make sure that we're not like the people of Amos's day. Jesus said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. And more, we can talk to talk. We can say how good God is and how much we love Him and all those things. But Jesus said, these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Real worship comes from the heart. A desire, a hunger, an awareness of Him. Passionate thing. A thing, an expression of love and gratitude. It's a passionate thing. That means there's going to be some enthusiasm involved. You ever seen a fan out in 10-degree weather watching a football game? They colored themselves red, white, and blue, and green, and orange, and all that stuff. Took off their shirt and with shorts, it's 10 degrees. Blowing smoke out their nostrils and mouth. Freezing dead, got their hair all spiked up. And they're out there jumping and hollering. Everybody says, hey, that's a fan. And they don't think that's weird at all. They don't think that's weird at all, because they love their team and they love the game. They're enthusiastic. Now, I don't want you coming in painted up. Well, Jason, we've got somebody to be enthusiastic about. We have a reason to be enthusiastic. We don't have to. Hey, if we worship like the Bible tells us to worship, there'll be some people saying, hey, those people are weird. I promise you, they don't understand the shout. They don't even know why you raise your hand. They surely don't understand an amen. They don't understand why you wave your hand to the Lord and worship Him and thank Him. They don't understand that, but they just don't understand because they don't know Him. But I want to tell you, are we worshiping Him like He desires and deserves and demands? It's from the heart. It's a passionate thing. That means it's going to have some enthusiasm with it. I'll tell you what God told the people during Amos' day. He said, you meet. You're there. You show up. You listen. You give and you go. And He said, here's my message to you. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy vows. He said, I wish you'd just hush. You sing songs, but not with your heart. Your mind's somewhere else. You come together and meet in my name, but it's not in my name. You come and you sit and you listen and you leave. And you didn't even know I was there. You didn't even seek for me. You didn't even realize. You didn't worship me. You heard songs and didn't even think about me. You heard a message, didn't even hardly remind you of me. People testified. You just thought, well, that was interesting. Or why'd they say that? I'm telling you. And God says, when it's not from the heart, I just wish you'd hush, is what He said. Oh, worship is passionate. Oh, thank you, Lord. God, you're so good. Oh, you're just wonderful. You're not just what you do, but who you are. You're holy, and that restricts me in my flesh, but I still worship you. You're worthy from the heart, passionate, that has enthusiasm with it. The fans that go crazy on Sunday afternoon in 10-degree weather, most people don't think a thing in the world about it. We as Christians, if we don't violate Scripture, there's not a thing in the world we can do that's overboard. Hey, I've seen them walk the back of the pews. I've seen them run around outside the building. I've seen them do all kinds of weird stuff. I'll tell you, back in the gospel days, as I call it, gospel Baptist days, I'm telling you, some weird things happened, but it was God. And I'm telling you, things I could not even explain to where you could understand, but it was God. And I want to tell you something. As long as we stay in Scripture and don't violate Scripture, we cannot go too far. As long as we violate Scripture, don't violate Scripture, and as long as the Holy Spirit's not grieved, worship should be enthusiastic. It should be an expression from my heart to Him. Hebrew writer said, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice. Sacrifice is what the Old Testament people did. They went out and found a lamb. But that lamb could not be any lamb. It had to be their best lamb. They went out, and their hearts were right. They went out in their flock looking for the best lamb they had. And they searched inexhaustibly looking. And when they found that best lamb, they said, this is the one that I need to give my God. He's worthy of my best. He's worthy of the best I have. And I believe Paul in Hebrews said, let us offer the sacrifice of praise, which means the best we can do. from our heart with our all. How long has it been, or have you ever worshiped God the best you could with all your heart? Offered God the best you have. And he even goes further. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, by the way. That is, he explains what it is. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips. Which tells me it's not just something that starts here. It's not just what I say. It's not just my words. Because he said the fruit of my lips. The fruit of my lips starts in my heart. Fruit is the result of something. The apple produces apples. Excuse me, the apple tree produces apples. The apple is the result of the apple tree root. And the fruit of my lips is the result of what's in my heart. It's a passionate thing. From my heart, the fruit of my lips expresses to him the worship and praise he deserves. That's what he's saying. It's a passionate thing. It's from our heart. I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. Sounding familiar? It's what our brother John said on the Isle of Patmos. I'm talking about real worship. It's something that's passionate from the heart. He said twice, make a joyful noise from your heart, from inside. That speaks of an emotion. It's emotional, but it's not a fleshly emotion. I'm telling you, some churches I've been to, some independent Baptist churches, literally sounds like a pep rally almost. Now, I believe it's good to encourage. I believe it's good to kind of egg things on, if you understand what I'm saying. But I am not a cheerleader. I am not a spiritual cheerleader. I'm not to egg you on. Emotionally, by the time we walk out the door, that's gone. Boy, we need to worship him with our hearts and praise him with our hearts. It's an emotional thing still. It's an enthusiastic thing. It's a thing also that involves excitement. Sometimes worshiping means you sit there on the pew quietly and just tears will run. Sometimes, like we've had times here not long ago, we just sit and I say, you just hush and let's just worship God. It's a quiet thing. And from your heart, it's so real. It's so real. It's so exciting. Even though it may not be loud, it's real. Well, I'll tell you what, there's sometimes it just absolutely gets out of the banks. I mean, Eula about lost it. I think she did lose it last Sunday. You do know that, right? And she was rejoicing in her God that her son finally, one of them got saved. Hey, that's a good reason to just get out of the banks. There's a good reason to get excited. When God's working and when you see him move, there's a reason to be excited. We ought to come expecting. You ought to get up every morning, spend a little time if you can. Right, make sure you do. Before you leave the house, before you get started, just worship in him. Just worshiping him. It ain't boring. If you ever get bored at church, you ain't worship. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. We've had some boring services. I've been to some services. Don't tell anybody. Someone's been here. I was glad they was over when they were over. But part of that was my fault. Because in the middle of that boring service, I still could have worshiped. Because it's an excitement that comes from inside. It's an expression. An expression. I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. It's like the psalmist said, I can't get it out. It's in there, and I'm trying, but it just won't get out. It's just in there. Worship is an expression. It's all in there. I sure do love him. He sure is good. He's a good God. He's a holy God. He's an awesome God. He's a big God. He's a wonderful God. I tell you, it's in there, and I just can't get it out, but I'm going to try. It's an expression all that is within me. Bless His holy name. That's what worship is. It's in there. And we need to let it out. I got a question. How did it get in there? It ain't going to be automatically delivered. It ain't going to be emailed automatically. It ain't no prepaid automatic deposit. Jesus said, those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Part of worship means I have exposed myself to the truth of who He is. Worship is an expression of what's inside. And the only way it can get in there, that we can let it out, is to teach, to preach, to sing, to testify, to speak, to hear, to take in, to expose yourself to the truth. Oh, that we might receive. The more I learn about Him, the more I'm amazed at Him. The more I learn of Him, the more I automatically worship Him. It keeps getting bigger inside, bigger inside, to where it's finally just automatic to release. It's an expression. The psalmist said it like this. My cup, could I add a shoemaker word? My cup just plumb runs over. My cup runneth over. Hey, there's so much in there, I just can't keep it all in. It just runs over. That's what worship is, an expression. And you can't get that if you didn't take it in. I want to tell you something. I want to remind me, take in. Listen to messages. Expose yourself to the truth. Read the Bible yourself. Listen to good gospel singing. Expose yourself. Take it in. Receive it. Receive it. Take it in. Take it in. Take it in. The more we learn, the more we realize He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. The more it builds up in here, the more likely it's going to explode in expression of worship. And if we don't take it in, how's our cup going to run over if we didn't put anything in it? I think that's part of our problem. All week long, we don't take anything in. And we expect to run over on Sunday morning. And it probably, more times than not, it won't work. Sometimes in God, in mercy, God will just do it. I want to tell you, Jesus said, those that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Take it in. It's an expression. All that is within me, bless His holy name. It's an overflow of what's inside. That's why God gave us the Bible. That's why God gave us preachers and teachers. That's why God gave us singers, that they may worship God, but also that we might receive from them, that we might worship God also. I'll say this, trying to pick and choose what I need to leave out and what I need to say. I don't think we'll truly worship God without somehow it being obvious. Sometimes, like I said, it may just be a tear. Sometimes you may be running the pew. Sometimes you may be waving your hands, shouting. But I do believe this. I believe this with all my heart. Somehow, if we're truly worshiping, if somebody's watching, they'll notice. They will know something's going on. And I've said that to say this. I know a lot of Christians, a lot of people who say they're saved, that I've known for a long time and been in church services a lot of times with them, that I've never seen one sign of worship. Not one sign. And I'm not the scorekeeper, and I'm not the judge. And I do not know their heart, and I am not saying they never have. I'm just saying I've never seen any evidence of it. And I believe somewhere along the road, if we're worshiping like the Bible says and like we should, it's going to show up on us somehow. So that kind of burdens me to think that I know so many that I have never seen any sign of them worshiping when worship means so much to God. I'm telling you, One thing we need to work on around here, and me too, is our worship. I believe that's what God's calling us to worship Him. It's a passionate thing from our heart. You may say it just unnatural to me. That just ain't me. Well, let me, we preachers use this illustration because it's right and because it makes the point. Sometimes people say that just isn't me, but, and this is factual, that's why we preachers use them. We're quiet in church and raise the roof at a ball game. We're quiet at church, and under the right circumstances, boy, we can show our emotions. Well, that tells me that they're in there. And we should never put on. We should never pretend. But I do think sometimes we ought to let go. It'll seem strange. The first few times I shouted, it felt weird. You know what? The last time I shouted, I felt weird. You know why? Because there's a devil and there's flesh. And it'll feel weird. It'll seem strange because the flesh doesn't want us to worship and the devil doesn't want us to worship. No wonder. Do you really expect to worship God and the devil to leave you alone? I'll tell you what, most of you will admit every time you testified, you sat back down, the devil said, boy, that sure was dumb. And you probably felt weird. That's the devil. That's the flesh. And we're not to be motivated, driven, or controlled by the flesh or the devil. And worship is just as much a part of God's will as anything else I could mention. It's an expression from my heart to Him. From my heart, passionate, loving, understanding, recognizing, giving it my attention to Him. Let me close with this thought. Since worship is from the heart, and it's a passionate thing, make a joyful noise from your heart. It just comes out. It's released. Since it comes from my heart needs to be clean. B.R. Lake, instead of heard him say it, heard him say it more than one time. You may preach through a dirty heart, and you may sing through a dirty heart, and you may even witness through a dirty heart. He said, but you'll never pray through a dirty heart. And the old man was right. I want to add something. We'll never worship through a dirty heart. Since worship comes from or through the heart, our heart needs to be clean. Our heart needs to be right. Our heart needs to be submitted. Our heart needs to be in God's will. It's a passionate thing. It's a thing, an expression of love and gratitude. The psalmist said this, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know what that term beauty of holiness means? Clean garments. In other words, he says you do it with a clean heart. You do it with clean hearts. Paul said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Our heart needs to be pure. My prayer is, my desire is, my craving is that God will teach me how to worship more and help me to worship more. My prayer also is that God would help us as a church to worship Him as we never have before. We was talking in the prayer room about the old time way. We was talking about how it used to be, and that ain't a bad thing. But one thing those old timers did, they prayed all week long, stayed in the book all week long, stayed open to God all week long. By the time they got to church on Sunday morning, they were ready. They were fired up. They were ready. It had built up and built up and built up. They was just looking for a place to let it out. Why don't we try that between now and Wednesday night? Yeah. If it blows out the seams or if we just come in relatively quiet, as long as we'll worship. God desires it. He deserves it. And He demands it. Oh, may we learn to worship. Lord, teach me to worship. Let's stand together, Gail, if you'll come. I know my heart has been directed toward worship.